Well, it's two nights before Christmas.
It is. It was the night before Christmas.
And all through the house. Our dog was fucking zooming. Packing up some shit that she ate.
All off the side of the couch.
While we were recording a podcast. Welcome to another episode of the Panducto Quarantcast. It's been a while since we've put one out. There is another one that I've been working on, but it was a long movie.
Which one was that?
Oh, I'm not going to say it.
Oh.
Yeah, the last one was a long movie, and it's taking me...
I mean, you don't have to... It's not like this one's going to come out before that one.
It is.
This is?
Yes, because I want this one to come out for Christmas, and that one might be out. I'll probably wait.
So you're going to, like, spend the next couple of days editing this shit?
It's easier for me to edit when I know the movie as well as I know this movie, I think.
You know this movie really well?
Well, it's been a long time since I've watched it.
I've never watched this movie.
I know. I'm excited for you.
I also didn't watch Home Improvement. Didn't think it was funny.
We're watching The Santa Claus, by the way. Home Improvement was one of those shows that, like, if I got home from school and it was on, I would watch it, but
How would it just be on?
Like, if you turn the channel on and it was on. What?
Right.
What do you mean?
That makes sense.
If I got home and my parents forced... I just thought, like, if you got home
and, like, the TV had just was just on and...
Yeah.
I guess that doesn't make as much sense as what you said.
Yeah. It doesn't.
Yeah, no, honestly, fuck Tim Allen. I mean, the only thing that I've ever liked of his that was pretty good was that space
movie?
Yeah, whatever the fuck that was.
Was it Lost in Space?
No. Nah, it was called something else.
We're in Amsterdam.
You don't know where I am. She's in Amsterdam.
I'm in Amsterdam. Jamie is in an underground bunker somewhere. I'm staring at a Christmas tree that we have had up for almost a month. No, not that long. Maybe a couple weeks.
A week?
Yeah. So
2 weeks, maybe?
Currently, the Netherlands are in a lockdown as of last week. The Dutch are not happy about it. But, like, these motherfuckers... As much as we love them, because they're all, like, very friendly and just trusting and cool, they don't wear masks a lot.
They're starting to wear them now.
Yeah, they're starting to wear them because the government finally is enforcing people wearing masks indoors in public, but there was a surge of the cases started to go up. You know, a couple days ago it was up at 10,000, which... obviously pales in comparison to the U.S., but it's a much smaller population here. So the city, or the country, actually, is in a lockdown, and only essential businesses are open.
Like bakeries.
Yeah, like bakeries. I went to the tailor today. The tailor is an essential business, but they...
Gotta look good.
They sell vintage clothing at the tailor, but all the vintage clothing was covered up, because I guess that's not essential, but, like, me getting my jeans tailored is essential. And I'm glad that they recognize that. We have this beautiful Christmas tree after days of dealing with the worst property manager ever of this apartment that we're staying at.
Pretty bad.
His name is Hilke.
And he's on our Christmas shit list.
He's on the naughty list for sure. I feel like he's a quintessential Dutch guy somehow.
No.
No, maybe not. He's just this...
way worse than the quintessential... No. Well, that was a huge insult to the Dutch.
No, people. You're right. You're right. He's, like, friendly, and he has this, like, naivete about him. Like, because every time we're like, Hilke, we've been trying to get in touch with you for 3 days. We haven't had electricity in the ground floor of our apartment. And he'll be like, oh, that is so sad.
He really will. It's amazing.
Oh, that brings tears to my eyes. No, I hate to hear, like, that you are.
Oh, that is not good. Oh, that is very sad. He doesn't understand how to assign descriptives. Like, so there's part of me that feels like maybe he's not a human. And he just cyborg. Is sort of, like, trying to, like, float emotions out there, but he doesn't actually have
he's
them.
He's like, is this the one that you guys, like, do for this sad. Situation?
He doesn't
do you do sad for this one?
He doesn't understand sadness, so he's just like, that is sad.
Why do you cry?
No, okay. I remember at one point I had to correct him, like, it was just some stupid shit, like the guy didn't pick up the thing to wash it because it had been pissed on by the
neighbor. We needed to get the curtains washed.
Because they had been pissed
because
on.
Because they smelled like cat piss.
Yeah. Nah, and he was like, did the guy show up to pick it up? This is after multiple larger issues. And I was like, no. And he was like, that is so sad. I was like, okay, why wasn't it sad when I didn't have electricity for a week? that's not sad.
Yeah,
But the curtain not getting picked up is sad. Like, everything else has just been like, that's not good.
Yeah.
It's like, motherfucker, I know it's not good.
He wanted to come by because he didn't want us to have issues. And I was like, Hilke, the issue is that you do not communicate and we can't get a hold of you when things happen. Please just respond when we try to get in touch with you promptly and handle problems promptly.
Oh, you said that to him?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
My little boo.
Yep.
Regulate.
Being assertive, but also empathetic and also reasonable.
Right. You are the person who said you wanted to publicly shame him, and now I guess we're doing
yeah,
that.
Yeah, well,
to be clear, I said I wanted to put Hilke's face on a billboard to shame him and warn future tenants who might have dealings with him, but I was pretty angry when I said that, and my cooler head has since prevailed.
Hilke will be like, I listened to your podcast. Was very sad to hear. Was very sad to hear you. Your assessment of my performance.
But lest we forget that when we were renting this apartment, that they looked into my fucking music, and the owner of the building was incredibly concerned because they were like, "You have a song apparently where the first line is suck your dick."
It's incredible.
Got a couple of those, actually.
Because, like, I don't know what is the inference that he's taking away from that.
He was worried about us having parties. I was like, motherfucker, we're the only ones wearing masks in this country. We're not going to have a party. We don't even want to touch anybody.
Yeah. Hey. But being in Amsterdam is pretty cool. I have a bike and it's not scary anymore to bike around. I don't feel intimidated by all the other, you know, Dutch people who were born sitting on a bike.
I wonder if there are like Dutch bike gangs, you know, like teenagers who just like bicycle gangs.
Sure, there probably are.
Who just like intimidate, like, you know, it'd be like a, you know, a sophomore in high school, like intimidating like an eighth grader.
Mm-hmm. They just ding their bells.
They ding their bells. Oh my God, I've heard that sound before. The sound of 10 dinging bells. It's the bike boys. Like, do people get beat up and shit? Like, or chased with bikes?
Yeah.
I feel like that doesn't happen.
Wait, there was a drive-by shooting in our neighborhood. Remember I told you?
Totally forgot, actually.
There was an Italian restaurant that got shot.
That's such a cliche.
Yeah, I know. And nobody was in it, though, because it was while the restaurant was locked down.
What if it was just all a stunt from the restaurant to get a little publicity for the spot? You know, like real authentic Italian.
Yeah, and like, then it's like, make your reservations for 2022 now when we reopen. But the thing is, nobody was in the restaurant. That's what I'm saying. Like, somebody just shot bullets at an empty restaurant.
I mean, you know, good.
So that's
interesting.
I wonder if they were on a bicycle when they were shooting the bullets, you know, if it was a bike buy. Yeah.
I mean, bike buys are riskier. You're just simply not as fast.
That's true.
As you would be in a car, you know?
Yeah.
Like, cars can go up to, I don't know, over 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, bike, gotta be. You know,
probably only about
20.
60, 65 miles an hour.
65.
If you're really gunning it and you're going downhill,
sure.
What do you think, 30?
Oh,
35?
I mean, How steep is the hill?
It's
how long is the hill? There's
wild.
A lot of factors. So that's where we are. We're in Europe. We have our dog. We have each other. We have Hilke.
We do have Hilke. And even though you don't choose your family, you love your family.
That's right. Know? That's right.
And we love you, Hilke.
No.
We know that.
I do have like a sort of affection for him because he is kind of like a cute, nice guy.
I feel bad when I have to yell at him, but you know.
He's just incompetent at his job or doesn't care or doesn't, I don't know.
Yeah.
Or he's a space cadet, but he is like a nice guy.
It's just one of those things. It's like, yo, I think that the European culture, on the one hand, and I really respect this in some ways, but these motherfuckers take their vacations and their weekends very seriously. Like, you could just easily, like, it doesn't fucking really matter what's going on. And I know this because we run an international business and have for years.
Right, and everybody just
shuts down.
And,
yo,
weekends,
motherfuckers,
holidays.
It doesn't matter what's happening. The whole company will just bounce, like, for a vacation for, like... And you're like, what's the vacation? And they're just like, it's a bank holiday or some shit. You know, like,
yeah.
You know,
meanwhile, people in America are like sitting on the toilet at their family you know, Christmas dinners, like trying to do deals and answer emails.
Wheeling and dealing. And that's why we're the happiest country in the world.
That's right. And if you don't look it up, it's true.
Yeah. All it takes is for you not to verify.
Yeah. Just take our word for it.
Yeah.
So it's my pick again, even though maybe the last movie we watched... I don't know what the... Oh, the last one was Jaws, which was actually my pick.
Which was your pick as well. And you betrayed me because you told me the next one was mine.
No, the next one was. It just hasn't come out yet. So now we're watching a holiday movie, one of my old favorites, The Santa Claus, starring Tim Allen and some kid who didn't grow up to do anything that I'm aware of.
God, is our age gap that real? Like
12 years.
Favorites?
Yeah.
Our age gap is 12 years?
Yeah. Sweetie.
I thought it was 13.
No, it's 12 years.
Well, I can't tell you how little I care about this movie. I didn't see this movie when it came out.
Yeah, well, you were not the demographic.
I was an adult. What year did this come out?
94. Wow.
Damn. All right. So this came out the year after I dropped my first single.
Everything is doesn't need to be spoken of in relation to when you did something in your career.
But that's the only thing I know. I can't remember any other times in my life. So it's how I figure out how old I was.
Well, I was 7 years old and...
So I was 20.
I don't...
19.
I don't know what I was doing at seven. What was that, like second grade? What I remember about being seven is that I blew my nose so loud that they called me a foghorn. And when I was in second grade, I would try to go to the bathroom down the hall just if I had to blow my nose because I didn't want the other kids to make fun of me. But then sometimes I couldn't and I had to just blow my nose in the class. And I only can honk. I can't blow my nose quietly.
I know, sweetie.
But if you can imagine that sound coming out of a seven-year-old
so
and then other kids
forever,
being like,
huh?
Yes.
Because it was something I had to get used to.
What? What do you mean?
I'm serious.
Really?
Yeah. Yes.
You were like, this is crazy.
Yeah. It's just a crazy loud honking. I mean, there's no other way to describe it. Like, people don't...
But you never said anything to me about it.
Like, when they blow their nose, it's not...
It doesn't work
if I
do it quietly.
I love it. I respect it. It just was a little, you know, I had to just get used to it. It was like, oh, this is happening every time. It's not just an anomaly.
It's an Emily.
It's fine. It's cool. I respect it.
Okay, thank you. Well, anyway, that's what I was doing in second grade.
I was
trying to conceal the sound of my honking nose.
Yeah, kids are cruel. You know, I could see it being a problem. Yeah. Now I just imagine you shamefully just huddled in the bathroom honking your nose.
So anyway, we're going to watch this movie, Santa Claus.
Wait, I keep trying to say,
oh, sorry.
Fuck Tim Allen, because Tim Allen is a piece of shit. Tim Allen was a snitch. He fucking ran cocaine.
He ran it?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he just did it.
No, he was a drug runner.
And
the only way, the reason why he got out of jail was because he ratted on all his friends or whatever, business associates, I don't know. But I always heard that it was also like his boys.
Yeah.
And then he got out, but now he's like a fucking, you know, of course, he's like a fucking...
Right-wing
motherfucker, you know. Like a little more mild than that. I mean, he's a little smarter than your average, you know.
Yeah, I haven't heard from Tim Allen in a while, but I feel like he has popped up. I just don't remember.
I feel like every time you see
in what
him
capacity.
For years, he would be like wearing like at some show, award show or something. He would just dress like a douchebag. He just dressed like a dude who like just really wanted to be young and muscular but wasn't.
That's weird because that's never been part of his image. But I will say I have thought that he was funny before.
Yeah, so. He's got a way about him to some degree, and he was funny in that one. He was good in that one movie.
Mm-hmm.
But
Galaxy Quest.
That's a quality
is
film.
Is Sigourney Weaver in that movie?
Yes, she is, and right. So is Alan
Rickman.
Rickman.
Yeah,
rest
yeah,
in
yeah,
peace.
Yeah.
And he's great in it.
Yeah.
Anyway, you're going to make me watch this shit,
yeah.
So fine.
Here we go.
Activate.
Now, please enjoy listening to us watch The Santa Claus. Spoilers ahead.
We got here. What's we got here? We got what looks like an office
party.
Office
Christmas party.
Never been to one of those myself, but...
I have never been to, well,
it
no.
Actually, looks like a decent party.
No, it looks fun. I've been to cool office Christmas parties, like at recording studios and stuff.
Yeah, I guess I have been to, like, you know.
The movie opens on an office Christmas party, and we are soon introduced to Scott Calvin, played by Tim Allen. He stands up to give a speech to his employees, and we learn that he is fairly successful and works at a toy company.
But we don't have time for that, do we? In all seriousness, here at B&R Toys, we're not just about making a profit in quality toys. We're also about families. But our families aren't here with us right now. This is probably why Johnson's secretary is sitting in his lap.
Oh.
You guys have a great party, have a great year, drive safe. Thanks very much.
Super toxic white male guy, huh? That's the vibe.
And he works at a toy company.
How do you think Johnson felt about him calling him out like that?
The traffic out here.
That actually is a major plot point.
Is it?
No.
I'm really going to be late.
Oh, he's lying. He's on the phone.
Yeah, he driving. Doesn't care about Christmas or anyone.
He's a millionaire because he has a cell phone, and that's how you know, in 1994.
Look at the car, though. The whip
is
busted.
No, I'm just kidding. No, that's a hoopty.
I don't quite get that. Shouldn't he be riding in something a little...
No, that's true. I think my dad had that car.
Like, how can he be... This is the problem with white America. This guy's so goddamn arrogant, but he's riding around in a fucking hoopty.
Yeah.
Like, average, you know? Just mediocre white male.
What is the problem with white America?
Yeah.
I don't know what city this takes place in, I wonder. I forget.
I don't know, but this kind of reminds me of the opening scene of Beverly Hills Cop when he's driving down...
Except for the snow.
Beverly Hills Boulevard, but it's like a shitty version. It's the suburb, and it's just this guy.
Next, we see Scott running late to meet his ex-wife and her new husband, who are waiting at his house to drop off his son, Charlie, for Christmas Eve.
Looks to me like a disappointed child.
Bye, Charlie.
Bye, you. Oh. Fucking Alan Thicke, I think, plays the...
Is that Judge Reinhold.
Oh, not not Alan Thicke. Judge Reinhold.
Big fucking difference. But isn't that funny? I mentioned Beverly Hills Cop, and there he is, Judge Reinhold.
That's right.
The star of Beverly Hills Cop. The number one star.
The second star.
Neil's
a
believer, Sam.
Well, Neil's head comes to a point.
He's not.
He's
a doctor.
He's a psychiatrist.
Okay.
All right, Neil.
Take it easy, Neil.
What a dick.
Did that child tell Charlie there was no Santa Claus? I think if we're going to destroy our son's illusions, I should be a part of it.
Yeah, and he definitely can't hear us right now.
Your mom's saying, sounds a lot like fighting, doesn't it? Cats even. The trouble is, Neil and your mom...
That's that classic Tim Allen humor that you love.
I hate every character in this so far.
Sweetie, it just started. Relax.
Later that evening, we see that Scott has burned the turkey so bad that he is spraying it with a fire extinguisher. In classic single father movie trope style, he has ruined Christmas Eve dinner and his son looks on sadly.
Wow, he made chestnuts.
I don't think those are chestnuts, are they?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, and...
To eat?
Yeah, you've never eaten chestnuts?
Isn't chestnuts a sausage?
There's chestnuts there, too.
As he's talking, the turkey bursts into flames again.
Pretty sure that wouldn't happen, so...
Next, we see Scott and Charlie driving around looking for a restaurant to eat in while Charlie tells Scott how great his stepfather Neil is. And Scott continues to shit on him and the fact that he's a psychiatrist.
Anti-psychology stance.
Yeah,
that's... Which is good.
Cool man.
Which we
stuff.
Like.
They eventually end up at Denny's.
I actually love this vibe that's happening in the Denny's right now. Oh, wait, right? There's going to be like a bunch of other dads that burn the turkey. Classic trope.
Yeah. His
you know how dads be burning the turkey.
His humor.
Oh, yeah, there's the dad.
Like
they make this
dads,
sad eye contact.
No dads can cook. God, this kid is miserable too.
Sweetie, just wait until the thing that's going to happen that changes everything happens. Do you know what's going to happen?
Yes, he fucking turns into Santa Claus. It's on the cover.
All right, well, all these movies have to start off bleak before they either turn into Santa Claus or Peter Pan.
Later that night, Charlie is in bed and Scott is reading him A Visit from St. Nicholas, a.k.a. Twas the Night Before Christmas.
See, he's just a, you know, dad doing his best.
While listening to the story, Charlie asks Scott what a clatter is, which comes up later, and makes his father assure him that he does in fact believe in Santa Claus.
What a fucking cocksucker of a father this guy is, huh? He's like snide.
Yeah.
Yeah, just go preheat the
oven. You know, sometimes when adults grow older, they become bitter. Okay?
Bitch
and they just need
made.
To turn into Santa Claus
sometimes
to welcome the inner child back and happiness.
Right.
Okay? Maybe you should turn into Santa sometimes, I think. You know, who among us couldn't use turning into Santa?
Hey, yo! Santa.
Well, he was.
Scott goes into Santa's pocket and finds a card stating that if anything should happen to him, whoever finds the card should put on the suit and the reindeer will know what to do. Then the Santa waves, and when the camera pans back to him, we see that he has disappeared.
He just waved goodbye to his mortal existence.
That's right.
That's how I want to go.
I'm working on it, babe.
While trying to make sense of what is going on, Scott looks up and sees a sleigh with reindeer on the roof. And then he hits his head on a magic ladder that has just appeared. And the ladder also has a plaque on it that says, quote, "The Rose Suchak Ladder Company. Rose Suchak Ladder."
Literally never got that before.
Charlie climbs the magic ladder onto the roof and starts petting the reindeer.
Oh yeah, there are these like, do you think these are animatronic?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I know they're not real, but I just mean... These were the kinds of jokes that were killing in the theater. Rudolph the reindeer farts. Everybody goes nuts.
Let me ask you a question. Being how snide and uninterested in fatherhood this guy is, why is he so obsessed with sticking to the one thing, like the Santa thing is like...
Because there are parts
thing.
Of him where he's trying to be a good father. He's just jaded.
At this point, Charlie is sitting in the sleigh, and while Scott is trying to get him out of it, the sleigh takes off with them both inside.
Let's go!
Really great graphics here.
Yeah.
I mean, by 1994 standards.
The sleigh eventually lands on the roof of a house, and Charlie insists that Scott needs to put the suit on and go down the chimney to deliver presents to the family inside.
It's interesting that Tim Allen was constantly acting with children, right? Like, on his show, he had three sons. That was a big part of the show.
It's a sitcom, you know?
No, I know. I'm just saying, like, for the fact that he was just kind of scummy, cocaine
right, yeah,
running
exactly.
dude, and he's constantly acting with children.
Yeah,
I don't
he's
know.
Gone for that because that's the type of people that can appreciate his humor.
The family?
The children.
Tim Allen is for the children. With Tim Allen just like flying high at this point, he's just like a big deal and he's...
Yeah, this is a big movie.
No, I know that. But this is him at the top of his game,
yeah,
right? As an actor. And a comedian.
Yeah, this is not him. Maybe not as an actor. But in terms of success, yeah.
See, that's the type of joke that they wrote for, like, the dads that had to take their kids to see this movie. I lived through the 60s.
I know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Orgies, acid. It's a children's movie.
Yeah.
Scott ends up putting on the suit and playing along with the idea that he's supposed to go leave gifts. And then when he picks up the sack, it floats into the air, and through Santa magic, Scott and the sack squeeze down the tiny chimney.
Guaranteed my dad would have been literally slapping his knee in the theater, like watching that. Which is what he did whenever we went to see like Disney animated movies.
Steve.
Like Robin Williams in Aladdin fucking killed my dad in the theater laughing so loud.
I mean, that was pretty good.
No, it's great. It's great.
But your dad is the least pretentious person I know.
Once inside, things go south for Scott. He is approached by a growling Rottweiler and then he sets off an alarm, waking up the family.
See, if that was Hades, she would just be like wagging.
Yep.
Just like go up to him. Huge show at the time, so somewhat of a dated cultural reference now.
Good record, yeah. Dope rap group.
See, I love Tim Allen going through a tiny chimney as the animatronic reindeer looks on knowingly. I mean,
and like winks.
Yeah. Giant fireplace appears where none exists.
In the second house, Scott wakes up a little girl sleeping next to the tree who asks him a bunch of questions like, why doesn't he have a beard? And says he's supposed to drink the milk, to which he replies in a snarky way that he's lactose intolerant.
It's a terrible character.
He becomes better, sweetie.
No, it's just a badly written character. That's what I'm saying.
That girl was very blasé about Santa Claus actually coming down and a fireplace showing up where there wasn't one. Also, like, in this universe where, you know, none of the adults actually believe in Santa Claus, how do they account for the fact that these gifts are showing up in their house that they didn't buy? They're like, oh, that canoe? Did you get the canoe? I didn't get that canoe. Where the fuck did that canoe come from?
It's a kayak, sweetie.
Whatever.
No, it's a big difference. Okay? Kayak is for a single...
Kayak you right in the fucking mouth right now.
Single person.
He's the best dad in the world now because he's totally just on board with being Santa at this point. I can't help but think that some movie executive watched Hook and was like, we can replicate this but with Santa Claus. Obviously, Tim Allen is much less likable than Robin Williams.
After delivering the gifts to all the houses, the reindeer take the sleigh to what turns out to be the North Pole.
Oh, they went there. We're actually going to have to see the North Pole, huh? This feels like a shitty Vegas fucking performance.
Not shitty. It looks amazing.
This is like Cirque du Soleil Christmas.
I would love to see Cirque du Soleil Christmas.
The sleigh sinks into the floor, and we see Santa's workshop, complete with elves, reindeer, and lots of Christmas stuff. While trying to figure out what is going on, Scott meets the head elf, Bernard, who, in a somewhat harsh, no-nonsense way, explains that according to the Santa Clause, as in a provision in a contract, by putting on the suit, Scott is now legally Santa Claus.
I love that the elf is Jewish.
With dreads.
Yeah. That is a weird choice. Why does he have dreadlocks? Has that been brought up?
Scott and Charlie are shown to their room where Scott is given a pair of SC embroidered red silk pajamas by an elf named Judy. Then Judy brings Scott a cup of hot cocoa, her own recipe, which she tells Scott took her 1,200 years to perfect.
That's why I'm a child, but I'm wearing makeup.
I've seen some things, Santa.
Yikes.
I'm seeing someone in rapping. I'm seeing someone in rapping, sweetie.
You are, sweetie. You're seeing someone in rapping.
The next morning, Scott wakes up back in his bed, but still wearing the red pajamas.
This dude just started opening presents, huh?
The kid?
Yeah.
Spoiled. Well, that's what you do when you're at your single dad's, single divorcee dad's house.
Before long, Charlie's mom, Laura, comes to pick him up and makes a comment about Scott's PJs, to which Charlie replies that Judy gave them to him, which Laura takes to mean that some presumably trampy woman gifted Scott a pair of pajamas.
One of Santa's little slut helpers, I guess.
While getting ready to leave, Charlie continues to talk about the night that they had at the North Pole and how Scott is Santa Claus, causing Laura to raise her eyebrows at Scott and accuse him of essentially filling their son's head with nonsense.
See, I hate how in these movies there's, I feel like the white, like technically Tim Allen is like the deadbeat dad, but then the mom is painted as this like humorless bitch.
Next we see Scott, Laura, and Neil at Charlie's career day. When Scott goes up to talk about his job, Charlie interrupts him to tell his classmates that Scott is the new Santa Claus, which ends with all three parents in the principal's office and the principal, Neil, and Laura, all very concerned about Charlie's Santa delusions. I also want to mention that the classroom scene features a delightful cameo by the hilarious Mary Gross. After the classroom scene, we see Charlie in his room pretending to be Santa while his mom looks on in horror.
She's like, oh my god, my son is fucking losing it.
Neil and Laura continue to be upset by Charlie's obsession with Santa, so Scott pulls him aside and says that they should keep the whole thing as a secret between just them.
It's kind of fucked up how much him being Santa Claus, like, you know, affects the child and how everybody's treating him and tears apart the family. You don't think about that when you become the Santa Claus, you know?
That's the allure of the job.
Yeah.
The lives get touched, if not ruined.
touched.
Another fart. That's the second fart of the movie. The first fart came from a reindeer.
Yeah, we know that farts are funny.
Now we start to see Scott's physical transformation into Santa. He's put on a ton of weight, and no matter how much he shaves his beard, it keeps growing back even longer and whiter.
Sweetie, this is how I feel every day I wake up.
Sweetie, you're becoming Santa Claus. Yeah.
This is literally how I feel every day.
Now we see Scott walking in late to a meeting with his business partners who are just about to order lunch. He is clearly fatter and wearing a gray sweatsuit. When asked about his weight, he says that he was stung by a bee, and then he proceeds to order a huge lunch, complete with a warm chocolate chip cookie, cheesecake, creme brulee, a hot fudge sundae, and a glass of ice-cold milk.
It's interesting that at their work, they have a waiter wearing a white shirt and a black bow tie. Also, the Jeopardy music is an interesting choice for that scene.
Yeah.
After lunch, one of Scott's colleagues unveils his idea for their Christmas toy advertising campaign, which involves Santa in an army tank. And Scott, very vocally, opposes this idea.
You know, you don't think about that either. Being Santa, it affects your other job.
Total tank. Wait a minute. No way. No way Santa's going anywhere without his sleigh.
This is a commentary on the military-industrial complex.
Whoever chose the music for this is...
It's all over the place.
Literally, why is it?
It's like big band music with horns. What is that?
Later, Scott sits on a bench wearing red and white and watches one of Charlie's soccer games. While he's watching, a little girl approaches him timidly and sits down to tell him what she wants for Christmas. Before long, there is a line of kids waiting to sit on Scott's lap to tell him what they want for Christmas, which, of course, freaks out Neil and Laura.
See, kids just know when the weird dude in the park is actually Santa Claus. They have an intuition about it. Those are great jeans.
Yo,
on her.
What is up with the dude jeans, though?
The mom's jeans are amazing. Like, I would love those jeans. She's so hot, but also looks age-appropriate for being that role. Like, that role in 2020 would be played by Zoe Kravitz, who's, like, a model.
Yo, I'm just dazzled by these fucking jeans that Judge Reinhold's wearing.
See, I'm dazzled in a good way.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm
by the mom's the other jeans.
Way. I'm dazzled straight to hell.
Next, we see Scott looking full-on Santa, wearing red and green with white hair and beard, walking down the street and commenting on who is naughty and who is nice as he passes them. At one point, he passes a hot woman in a short skirt and says, "Veronica, very nice." And the woman replies, "Dream on, sleigh boy," which is a line I can picture some coked-out douchey male writer being very proud of when he wrote it.
Not necessary. He's Santa, but he's still kind of a dirty scumbag. Tim Allen is creepy Santa.
It would have been doper if it was like American Werewolf in London, where like only on Christmas Eve he violently transforms into Santa. You know?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, we see Laura and Neil discussing what to do about Charlie while waiting for a judge to determine if Scott's visitation rights should be revoked. Then they talk about when they stopped believing in Santa, which happened when each of them did not get a particular toy that they wanted, the mystery date game and a weenie whistle, respectively.
They're just having this moment while their child is giving up custody.
The judge sides with Neil and Laura, causing Scott to walk home sadly in the dark, looking full on Santa.
No.
Sweetie, that's literally what I'm turning into.
No, it's not.
Yeah. I'm going to look like Santa eventually. I just don't have that thick a beard.
Not yet.
I'm 45. I think I know how thick my beard can get.
Later that night, Scott ends up walking to Laura and Neil's house to see Charlie. And while he's there, Charlie gets into a fight with Neil because he keeps insisting that Scott is Santa Claus.
Be ill if Judge Reinhold just hauled off and slapped him.
He's not!
Scott asks Neil and Laura to give him and Charlie some privacy so that he can say goodbye. And after they leave, Bernard appears in the other room.
He was eating their food?
Charlie asks Bernard if he can come with them to the North Pole. And after Bernard says, it's okay with me, he shares a knowing look with Scott and all three of them disappear.
I mean, that is kind of fucked up to just like disappear.
Well, I could kidnap him.
Here, we took a quick break from the movie and I went to go get what I thought were cookies.
What kind of a savage would make fucking cheesy cookies? You know? Then disguise them like they're fucking regular cookies.
That was really upsetting to eat that cheesy
cookie. A little traumatizing. Not as much because you warned me, but...
It was traumatizing for me.
No, I know. Even for me a little.
I took a bite and I was like, this cookie is salty. I still didn't believe that it was fully savory. All right. A little bit left of the Santa Claus. Tim Allen
just... now kidnapped his child.
Kidnapped his child. Took him to the North Pole. Along with the Jewish elf.
With dreads.
And Judge Reinhold sucked.
The worst. And he's been great. I don't know why they used him like this.
I think he's good at being shitty.
Nah, he was always awesome, man.
No, I understand, but he's an actor. It's fun to play a villain sometimes. It's fun to play...
He's not that good, though. He's just kind of drippy and weird in this.
I think his character is supposed to be. I think he's pretty good at playing that character. I believe it.
I don't.
All right. Well.
I don't believe you.
All right. Okay.
Let's get this fucking... Let's get this shit going. Let's bring it home.
Okay. Back to the movie. After finding that her ex-husband, who thinks he's Santa Claus, has kidnapped her son, Laura does what any logical mother would do and reports the kidnapping to the police, who apparently have nothing else to do, so they get every single officer on the case. While this is happening, Charlie and Scott are at the North Pole, where Charlie has been helping the elves develop new Santa technology.
Fireplaces will no longer be a problem.
Really, the magic of being Santa Claus wasn't enough to not get burned before?
Next, we see a montage of the police force apprehending and handcuffing anyone they see wearing a Santa suit, cut with shots of Scott and Charlie in the North Pole, including a sort of dance sequence.
This is actually a pretty dark movie. See, all it took was him becoming Santa Claus to not be a shitty father.
The sequence ends with a shot of a police lineup of men in Santa suits.
Then why would she need a lineup for her husband?
That's a good point.
Apparently oblivious to all of the police violence and false arrests that are happening as a direct result of his actions, we see Scott and Charlie in the sleigh, about to set out on Christmas night.
I do remember seeing this and being like, that's dope. The cookie coming out of the CD player.
Now we see Scott go down the chimney where the same little girl from earlier in the movie is sleeping next to the tree.
Why wasn't she initially like, you're not the Santa that I've met before, because every year I sleep by the Christmas tree.
All right, stop touching the kid.
Back in the sleigh, Charlie spots his mom's house and asks if they can go there next.
Can we go there next? Sure. I mean, sort of out of the way.
Yeah. Sure, I guess you're in charge. I don't know.
No, I mean, fuck me. I'm just Santa Claus, right? But yeah, you call the shots now. Where do you want to go next? China?
As soon as Scott descends into Laura's living room, he is swarmed by cops who then carry him out to the cruiser.
It does seem, like, excessive that they have that many officers in the house.
If he was a black Santa, they'd be beating the shit out of him right now.
That's true.
As the officers bring Santa to the car, neighborhood children watch and plead with the officers not to arrest him.
I'm never having a child. They all talk the same in these movies. So never having a movie child.
Okay.
That's what I mean.
Dad, let Santa go.
I believe in you. He's Santa. I want milk.
When the North Pole finds out that Santa has been arrested, they deploy backup.
The elf SWAT team. There's going to be a lot of carnage. I'm just going to warn you ahead of time. They're fucking brutal.
Yeah.
Back at the police station, we see Santa being interrogated.
So let's make this simple. I say name, you say Scott Kelly.
Next, we see the elf force fly through the air and then land on the roof where Charlie is apparently still sitting alone.
Charlie? Yeah? Don't worry. We're the good guys. Come on, let's go save Santa.
Okay, there are no good cops, even if they're elf cops. A-cab, motherfucker.
Yeah. Elf cab. Any one of these kids was a better actor than this little kid.
The elves take Charlie to the police station where they confront the front desk officer and then tie him up with Christmas ribbon while spinning him in his chair.
We're elves with attitude. This is the kind of stuff that kids go nuts for in the movie theater. Wrapping up an old fat police officer with ribbon.
It's weird though, because they're referencing NWA, you know?
Maybe, yeah.
The elves and Charlie bust Santa out of prison, and then Charlie and Santa head back to Laura and Neil's house. Inside, Laura and Neil, relieved, embrace Charlie, but when Santa says that he doesn't have much time and has to go, Charlie insists on going with him, but Santa says that he needs to stay.
Come on, listen, there's a lot of kids out there, okay? Millions of kids. Yeah, they all believe in me, they're counting on me, Charlie, I'm not gonna let them down.
I'm honestly losing so much time even just having this conversation with you right now, Charlie. You're really holding me up.
Mostly.
Do you want those kids?
Poor people have lost, just in this conversation, so many presents, and it's because of you.
They already weren't getting that much.
Before he leaves, Laura comes to the realization that Scott really is Santa now.
She's going to have to go to a lot of therapy to figure out how she, like, conceived a child with Santa and had sex with him, and at one time, you know, he's sort of a patriarch type figure.
Oh, I gotta see what happens here.
Laura tells Santa that she has something for him and then throws the legal paper saying he isn't allowed to visit his son into the fire.
I don't know if just burning the papers up means that, like, the whole
Judge Reinhold was like, what the fuck? We literally just went to court today.
And truly, burning the papers is not reversing a judge's decision.
Then Bernard shows up and tells Charlie that if he ever wants to see his dad, that he can summon him using the magic snow globe that he gave Charlie earlier in the movie.
All you gotta do, because I'm from Brooklyn. I'm happy
to see you anytime, day or night. Just as this is happening, about 30 cop cars pull up outside Laura's house and a crowd starts to form.
I feel like, I mean, come on, these cops have nothing better to do, like... Where the fuck do they live?
I mean, but yo, that shit is real these days, man. The militarization of the police is no joke.
Then Santa flies slowly over the crowd and waves goodbye to his son.
The greatest special effects ever made.
Only white children are standing on the street, yeah.
Merry Christmas to all.
The whitest fucking town in the world.
As he is flying away, a couple of gifts float down for Laura and Neil. They are the things that they wish they had gotten the year they stopped believing in Santa.
I don't know why, but I did think this was cute. He got a weenie whistle. I thought that was cute.
As the camera pans over the crowd of primarily children, we see a number of elves standing there too.
The elves were like, thank God we didn't have to fucking pull our guns out on this crowd. Yeah.
I was ready to murder some motherfuckers. Why does he keep going back and forth, though? Seems a little weird. He said goodbye, and then
because
he's just like...
Because Santa's an exhibitionist, sweetie. He's putting on a show.
Back at Laura's house, Charlie complains that his magic snow globe isn't working.
Okay, Charlie, I don't know what to tell you. I obviously can't please you.
Because Charlie will...
Petulant little moody.
Definitely boy. Going to military school tomorrow.
But then seriously, I have to go.
But then seriously, I'm going to freak out next time you fucking shake that ball.
After summoning his dad back, Charlie asks if he can go with him to deliver the toys, and Laura says yes.
Go on, get out of here. Hey, and then let's talk about where Christ fits in.
He's like, whoop, no time, gotta go.
Hail Satan!
Just a quick one. I have no power here. I'm just constantly steamrolled by the other men in this movie. Whether it be my ex-husband or my current husband.
Headed straight to space.
Yep. He's like, aliens are part of this too. The end.
You have no idea how deep this goes.
Well, that was the Santa Claus.
So that was like a childhood movie for you, huh?
Yeah. It's definitely darker than I remember. I don't think I was picking up on all of that as a kid.
That's a shitty fucking movie.
No, it's not shitty. Absolutely it's got terrible. Moments.
It really doesn't.
I think it does.
What moments does it have?
There's plenty of moments.
Like, name one.
I enjoy when they go to the North Pole. I like some of the little parts where he's turning into Santa, like at his job. I love the moment at the end where the mom and Neil get their little gifts that they wanted. I mean, I realize now as an adult, it's like the way that they like talk about how they got, you know, how they wanted those gifts
yeah.
is super inauthentic. They both were like,
here's the story. Okay. Yeah, I haven't told it in a while because it's really traumatic. I got dozens and dozens of dozens and dozens. But I didn't get the one that I wanted, so I stopped believing.
Yeah, exactly. And then he was like, I had the same thing. And both of the gifts were like pretty cheap, like little... Yeah, no, that was pretty dumb. But I enjoy when they get it at the end. It's cute.
I hated the kid. I think the kid was just so fucking annoying.
I think that the humor was definitely... I keep using the word dark, but it just was like less joyful than I realized.
Yeah, because it's like he's trying to be this...
I wish it was a little more...
They wouldn't lean into either one. So it was like...
Right, it wasn't like super dark. It's still supposed to be a kid's movie, but it definitely was pretty hollow.
His adult humor isn't sophisticated enough for me to enjoy it. It's just not...
No, and you're not really rooting for his character at all. He's a pretty terrible dad. But I do think he has his moments.
Only thing I liked about this is the only moment in the whole movie that I genuinely liked. It's two moments, actually, and I liked him for different reasons. The first one was when Santa fell and, like, broke his neck. Clearly just died because he fell. The second, and that was just fucking, that just was like... That's how dark it should have been the whole time.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, like, they should have just leaned into it. Like, yeah. You know, fuck it. We're going there.
No, but they were like, this is a movie for kids. It's being marketed to kids.
But the motherfucker dropped and died. And then when they turn to him and Santa's, like, dead, but his hand is up and he's waving.
Okay, so the two bye-bye, moments you liked were just a sequence.
All wrapped up in that moment, yeah.
I know, and if you think about it, like, let's say... You know, so the Santa falls and dies and disappears. And that means that Tim Allen could just fall and die and disappear. And now we know that he has this whole other life and like a child. And it's actually very tragic. It's not just like this cutesy thing like, well,
I mean, you don't know.
I'm a magical being and now you take the reins.
Yeah, no, he's dead.
That's a man with a life.
Probably had a family years ago. They probably died years ago.
Yeah.
He's stuck in this perpetual hell.
Right.
Having to be fat.
It's like
Santa Claus.
Tuck Everlasting.
Yeah.
Have you read Tuck Everlasting?
I did read Tuck Everlasting.
I hated that book.
I don't remember whether or not I hated that book, but I read it when I was young.
Well, I don't know if I hated it, but as an adult, I hate the idea of it. I just remember it being like... The girl discovers this family who drank from...
Yeah, no, I remember that.
I'm going to explain it for listeners. Who drank from the Fountain of Youth or whatever, and so they just get...
Fountain of Utes.
So they just get stuck at the ages that they are, and then the, like, young man is trying to convince this much younger girl to wait until she's the age that he was when he drank the water, then to drink the water so that she can be frozen in time with him, and they never die. And that's sad. That's disgusting, actually.
I mean, you know... People loved Twilight.
I don't know anything about Twilight.
But, I mean, the Twilight thing was like, the dude was mad old, but he was in high school.
Yeah, vampires. Sure. And I love Buffy, the Vampire Slayer.
Look, you know, I love Vampire Slayers.
Me too.
But let's get back to this horse shit.
Okay.
Tim Allen, like, all his humor is like, yuck, soy milk. Like, oh, right. Psychiatry.
You know,
his whole shit was like... His whole humor is like
Tom Hanks
anti woke humor.
Like if Tom Hanks was in this role, and I cannot help but think that they must have asked Tom Hanks to do this role because
this was his star vehicle. This is Tim Allen's.
No,
star
I know,
vehicle.
But I'm just saying, like, imagine Tom Hanks in that role. Like for instance, in A League of Their Own, Tom Hanks starts out as being this kind of shitty, jaded dude, but you know, he's Tom Hanks, and then he comes around, and then you love him.
It's like Godzilla. Hmm? Like, at first you're like, ah, Godzilla is going to destroy the city. But then you realize, well, Godzilla is kind of the protagonist of the whole thing.
What the fuck are you talking about?
I don't know.
All right.
I'm really tired and my eyes are watering. I don't know why.
Well, I would say this movie, an apt metaphor is that this movie is like when you think you're about to eat some sweet cookies and then you end up eating some cheesy, salty cookies.
And you were shocked. Upsetting. But then also the metaphor is that I never thought we were eating any sweet cookies here. So
you knew that the cookies were cheesy the whole time.
The whole thing is cheesy.
As a child, I remember the cookies being sweet.
No, I hear that. I just think that I had better taste as a child than you did as a child.
It's not that you had better taste. It's just that, like, this was one of the movies that I watched as a child. You know, children aren't that discerning. I'm sure.
No, but I was pretty discerning.
No, you weren't.
Even if you look back on the films that I loved when I was a kid, for the most part, they still hold up.
Yeah, but a lot of films that I watched as a kid hold up, too. But, you know, it's not like I created these movies. It's just what was available to me and what I saw.
No, I just think that you
just... I didn't have that much agency.
A bit of a Philistine, you know?
Okay.
A child Philistine. And I don't think that... it's either that or the movies of your era just were just not well made.
Well, that's not true.
I mean, I'll put it to you this way. I bet you A Christmas Story is a hell of a lot better than this.
Yeah,
fucking...
Yes, it is better. I'm not saying this is like...
I don't want to fight.
...the movie.
Scrooged is the greatest Christmas movie of all time.
It's a really good one. I just have to think about that before I commit to the statement. That
and Die Hard, which I don't understand why people argue about whether or not Die Hard is a fucking Christmas movie. It takes place on Christmas. The score is based on Christmas music, the entire thing. The motherfucker literally, Santa's involved. He literally fucking...
I don't think anybody's still arguing about that. It was
no,
just
they
like
do.
An
every
internet
year,
thing.
It's like this. It's this bullshit that everybody likes to fucking argue about every year. It's so obviously takes place during Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, look, I'm sorry. I just get emotional.
Yeah, no, I know. Well, I guess that's the Santa Claus.
That's the Santa Claus.
Merry
Christmas, and my gift to you will be that I'll choose a movie next time.
And my gift to you is that I'm going to try to turn this podcast around in a day as opposed to like a month, which is what I've been doing recently.
And it's a lot of work. Man, I wish we did have cookies.
Okay. Well, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
The Panducto Quarantcast is created by Jamie Moline and me, Emily Panic. Editing and production is by me. If you like the podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe. And thanks for listening. Okay, see you next time.